Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Cindy. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram for Friday, May 13th. MCS reacts to grand jury's decision. School says external investigators concluded staff responded responsibly during situation by Stuart Doreen. Midland Christian officials stood behind the five school officials that were not indicted by a Midland County grand jury this week in its first statement since the decision was announced Wednesday. School officials in a statement wrote, "We are proud of the five members of our Midland Christian school family and grateful these legal proceedings are behind them. They have each handled themselves gracefully in the face of these extremely difficult circumstances, all while holding firm to their faith." Those administrators and staff members were Superintendent Jared Lee, former athletic director and head football coach Greg McClendon, secondary principal Dana Ellis, assistant secondary principal Matthew David Counts, and baseball coach Barry Russell. McClendon resigned his position in April. The five were charged in February with failure to report with intent to conceal, neglect, or abuse. Midland County District Attorney Laura Nodolf confirmed Wednesday that the five were no-billed or not indicted by a jury. "We are pleased that the grand jury confirmed what we believed to be true after receiving results of our own external and independent investigation into the legal matter," the MCS statement said. "Our independent external investigator concluded the five individuals acted reasonably and appropriately given the facts and circumstances, so we are not surprised the grand jury reached the same conclusion." Midland Christian officials wrote that, "Our current administrative staff, who have boldly stepped into interim roles, will continue to lead our students and faculty through the remainder of the school year to help avoid yet another disruptive change to our campus life." MCS also stated that those no billed will remain on paid administrative leave through the end of the 2021-2022 school year. "Midland Christian School remains committed to our mission and the pursuit of excellence across everything we do," the statement said. "As we move forward as a school, we will continue to closely evaluate ways to further strengthen this pursuit." On Wednesday, McClendon's attorney, Aaron Ekman, called on the Midland City Council to initiate an independent review of the handling of the investigation by members of the Midland Police Department. "Professional lives were sullied and ruined by poorly investigated accusations and a calculated public arrest to garner media attention. It is said that when you drag someone through the mud, they will get muddy. Five lives are forever changed because of a rush to judgment by the police and the public." Midland Mayor Patrick Payton said late Wednesday evening that, "I believe in the men and women in blue and our legal and justice system right here in Midland. That doesn't mean we won't continue evaluating and taking a good, hard look at why we did what we did, how we can improve and get better as we seek to serve and protect this community. We will continue to assume the best of those who serve us in law enforcement, but we will seek to be even better when we come out the other side of the process." Midland Christian Statement. Midland Christian School was grateful yesterday to learn that the Midland County Grand Jury declined to indict the five administrative members of our staff. "We are pleased that the grand jury confirmed what we believed to be true after receiving results of our own external and independent investigation into the legal matter. Our independent external investigator concluded the five individuals acted reasonably and appropriately given the facts and circumstances, so we are not surprised the grand jury reached the same conclusion. We recognize that grand jury service is one of the most demanding forms of community service. We want to express our appreciation to those men and women whose courage and pursuit of truth led them to this conclusion. We are proud of the 5 members of our Midland Christian School family and grateful these legal proceedings are behind them. They have each handled themselves gracefully in the face of these extremely difficult circumstances, all while holding firm to their faith. Our current administrative staff, who have boldly stepped into interim roles, will continue to lead our students and faculty through the remainder of the school year to help avoid yet another disruptive change to our campus life. Our colleagues will remain on paid administrative leave through the end of the 2021-2022 school year. Midland Christian School remains committed to our mission and the pursuit of excellence across everything we do. As we move forward as a school, we will continue to closely evaluate ways to further strengthen this pursuit. Our faculty, staff, and students have been instrumental in our ability to press forward these last 3 months. We applaud their strength and determination and look forward to celebrating their accomplishments, especially our graduates, over these next 9 days to finish out the year. Mayor's Statement. When this investigation began to unfold many weeks ago, there were numerous people who wanted me to interject myself into the process. Emotions were very high and opinions and viewpoints were all over the board. No doubt this matter has been discussed within the community and many were impacted by what was taking place. I understand all of that. When I took phone calls and meetings with people about this situation, I told them all one thing. Let the process work itself out. I stand here today and tell you I would say the same thing again and again. Let the process work itself out. We as a people here in Midland, Texas, cannot act like other places and seek to intimidate, harass, or influence the legal process. If we lose hope in the process, we are losing hope in liberty, and we cannot afford to lose that hope. As I stand here in front of you this evening, I believe in the men and women in blue and our legal and justice system here in Midland. That does not mean we won't continue evaluating and taking a good hard look at why we did what we did and how we can improve and get better as we seek to serve and protect this community. We will continue to assume the best of those who serve us in law enforcement, but we will seek to be even better when we come out the other side of the process. I have been deeply and personally burdened by what many have had to go through in the process. I gave my word to all those who originally wanted me to step into the process that if the process played out and the grand jury delivered the verdict we have seen today, that I would do what I am doing tonight. There have indeed been reputations damaged, teachers and students affected, and many in this community left with questions and concerns. But the process played itself out, and we will once again choose to trust the legal process that is at the bedrock of our freedom and liberty and security. Any great city, and I believe we are such a city, will have these challenges, and we all know similar challenges are playing out even now. But when we get to where we are tonight, we must be gracious as well as bold. We must be gracious enough to admit mistakes where we find them, and we must be steadfast in what is an often gut-wrenching journey of letting the process play itself out, and trusting that as a community committed to one another, from the thin blue line to the streets, schools, and places we do live, that we will do what is right and learn from mistakes where we find them. Let us choose tonight to love and learn. There will come another day when journeys similar to this will play out again. But tonight, we affirm that our system is not broken, our city is healthy, and we will be better and better in the days ahead with one another and for one another. God bless you and God bless Midland. Patrick, race vital to energy industry. Official visits with Land Commissioner Hopeful Buckingham by Mella McEwen. State Senator Don Buckingham, Republican candidate for Texas Land Commissioner, brought her campaign to Midland Thursday just before early voting in the runoff opens. She faces Tim Wesley in the Republican runoff, while Jay Kleberg and Sandra Grace Martinez are in the Democratic runoff. Buckingham was accompanied by Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, who emphasized the importance of the land commissioner in overseeing state oil and gas operations, veterans programs, and the Alamo Project. Buckingham pointed out that revenues derived from oil and gas production support the land agency's education and veterans programs. She said Democrats hope to follow national efforts to shut down oil and gas operations on federal lands by shutting down oil and gas operations on state lands, which she said would be devastating. It would also be an abdication of their constitutional responsibilities to fund education programs, she added. The impact of federal actions delaying or halting oil and gas leasing on federal lands are already being felt, she said. Half the nation's oil and gas production is from Texas, and the reason it is because Biden can't shut down oil and gas activity in Texas, and he can't shut it down because it's on state and private lands, she said. Amid growing calls for domestic oil and gas producers to increase production to meet demand and help replace Russian energy supplies, she said there are things state regulators and legislatures can do to help producers increase that output. We can lower the threshold, help the efficiency of pipelines, ensure the playing field is level, she said. There's a lot we can do. The most important thing is the oil and gas revenue that supports education and veterans programs. Patrick said officials in Washington, D.C. are not getting the message being sent by the impact of Russia's invasion of Ukraine that energy security is national security. No message is getting through the thickness of D.C., he said. They don't want to listen to the reality of what oil and gas is about. He said the crazy left is spinning a fantasy of eliminating fossil fuels and that fossil fuel production must be protected, not only for the Permian Basin, but for Texas, for the nation, and even the world. We can see what happens when a valuable resource is left in the hands of a dictator like Putin, he stated. Illustrator's Many Talents, a Natural Fit for a Museum. Nichols Art, Just One Way He's Helping Sibley Flourish, by Iris Foster. What do you get when you cross a scientific illustrator with a zoologist? You get Amarillo native Michael Nichol, who has been instrumental in redeveloping Sibley Nature Center. With a background in biology, museum science, zoology, and drawing, he said, it took me most of my career to find my dream job. Nichol was a freelance scientific illustrator for more than 30 years, with drawings appearing in numerous journals around the world. He also had assignments from the National Geographic Society, Texas Parks and Wildlife, and several scientific authors. He was initially hired as a part-time artist at Sibley Nature Center 16 years ago to paint the decorative and informative icons of the Llano Estacado. Sibley's staff describes our area as a larger plateau, the Llano Estacado, rather than a basin. That's why when you walk along the covered entryway, you see his renditions of Quanah Parker, Ranald S. McKenzie, and Charles Goodnight, along with the horned lizard, mesquite, box turtle, bison, pronghorn, side oats grama, prairie dog, and sandhill crane. In the auditorium are colorful 4-foot by 6-foot panels titled The Four Seasons of the Llano Estacado, which also pay homage to habitat types and cultural influences of the region. His four panels are surrounded by stuffed birds, deer, and a bear for a three-dimensional depiction of wildlife in these parts. Armed with 2 master's degrees, Nichol described how he's evolved into a museum scientist within the center. He enlarged the scale of 10 indigenous insects, painted and then transferred them to masonite. These were cut apart into head, thorax, and abdomen so children can assemble a new bug. He also designed and illustrated a display surrounding the impressive crocodile-like skull of a phytosaur from the Triassic period. These roamed West Texas when the land was swampy before the Llano Estacado. Working with prehistoric skeletons came naturally to Nickel. While at Texas Tech, he participated as a field paleontologist in the canyons of Crosby and Garza counties, where they unearthed the skeletal material of several species of Triassic vertebrates, many of which were new to science. He also trekked to Antarctica for a month of collaborative paleontology work with several other universities in December of 1983. Now, aided by a grant from the FMH Foundation, Nickel is planning a phased exhibit of the Pleistocene Ice Age on the Llano Estacado. The Museum of the Southwest donated a mammoth tusk, which he is painstakingly repairing, and could use some volunteer help. Sibley has also acquired replicas of the skull and right hand of a 12-foot to 14-foot short-faced bear, which likely feasted on other mammals like horses, camels, and bison. He is currently drawing interpretive reconstructions of the Pleistocene megafauna mammals of this region to incorporate into the exhibit. Nickel said the Llano Estacado has a wonderful connection with this area. In the meantime, he curates the entomology collections, the skeletal materials, the herbarium collection of Midland County, with several hundred specimens, more than 200, of which will be new records for the county, and multiple museum bird skins. There's a freezer full of birds which need to be added, by volunteers, he hopes. Like at larger museums, these skins can be used for research and compared with older specimens from other collections to look for things like changes in distribution and evidence of evolution. In addition to his curatorial duties, Nickel is also a beekeeper at Sibley. He is still involved in education, and he would like to offer the adult bug camp again this summer. It's a nighttime enterprise with sheets and UV lights to attract nocturnal insects. UV lights are used on a trail walk to spot scorpions with their incandescent green glow. Nickel has recently hung one of Sibley's quarterly regional art exhibits in time for a public reception at 6 p.m. Tuesday. Susan May is exhibiting a dozen automatons for hands-on viewing. Many are built in old cigar boxes with recycled and natural materials. Visitors can also check out the mammal displays and the clever chalk renditions Nickel drew of badger, owl, and coyote on office doors of Sibley staff. So what do you get when you cross an outdoor laboratory with collections of insects, bones, plants, birds, Pleistocene skeletons, and research? You get an unrecognized museum of natural history enclosed in the Sibley Nature Center. Thanks to the paintbrush, education, and display talents of Michael Nickel, museum scientist and naturalist. Classes and membership to Sibley, etc. You can become a member of Sibley Nature Center, 1307 East Wadley Avenue, for $40 annually. Call 684-6827 for more information. In addition to public receptions like the one at 6 p.m. Tuesday for Susan May's automatons, there are numerous other events planned for the summer. According to Education Director Phil Salonek, the next 2 months are chock full of activities. Summer camps for ages 5 to 7 will be held June 7th through the 8th, June 21st through the 22nd, and July 19th through the 20th. Older children, ages 8 through 12, will have camp June 9th through the 10th, June 23rd through the 24th, and July 21st through the 22nd. Sessions will occur from 9 a.m. until noon at the center. AgriLife, through Texas A&M Extension Service, will hold the following lunch and learn events at noon: Earth Kind Landscaping, May 25th, Proper Herb Selection, June 15th, Chemical Safety, June 22nd, and Saving Water with Earth Kind, July 6th. Miscellaneous family events include Songs at Sibley at 6 p.m., May 24th, June 28th, and July 26th. A teacher workshop at 9 a.m. on June 2nd, farmers markets at 6 p.m. on June 14th and 28th, a brown bag lecture at noon on June 16th, and theater Thursday for 6 p.m. on July 14th. Please call the center at 684-6827 for details. Drivers see 23-cent rise in Midland pump prices by Stuart Doreen. The average price of regular unleaded gas in Midland rose 23 cents this week. AAA Texas reported gas price spikes were the norm this week, with 17 of the largest 27 metropolitan areas showing increases of 20 cents or more, and the state average increasing 20 cents. West Texas was home to four of the top six increases, with Abilene and El Paso leading the way, with 29-cent increases this week. Next in line were Odessa, 26 cents, and San Angelo, Corpus Christi, and Tyler, 25 cents each. Record pump prices reappeared this week due to the higher cost of crude oil, AAA Texas reported in its weekly newsletter. Fear of a global energy supply disruption due to Russia's invasion of Ukraine outweighs the demand concerns prompted by the impact of COVID-19 on China's economy. The cost of a barrel of crude oil continues to exceed $100 as the market weighs the European Union imposing possible new sanctions on Russian oil. Price per gallon is at record highs across the state, with 23 of the 27 markets reporting new record prices this week. In Midland, that new record price is $4.18, which was tied for fifth highest price across the state. The most expensive averages were El Paso, $4.23, Texarkana, $4.22, and Odessa, $4.20. The state average jumped to $4.10. Averages across West Texas included $4.16 in Abilene, $4.10 in San Angelo, and $3.94 in Lubbock, and $3.91 in Amarillo. Prices in Amarillo and Lubbock rose by 12 and 17 cents, respectively. Amarillo and Lubbock were two of four larger metropolitan areas in the state where the averages had not hit record levels this week. The average in Midland is $1.25 higher compared to mid-May in 2021. The state average is up $1.38 during the same period. Midland Theater hosts breakfast fit for royalty. Children thought they were inside Cinderella's castle when they showed up to Cinderella's royal breakfast inside the lobby of the Midland Community Theater. Royal purple tablecloths draped each table, topped by round clock placemats that displayed the time as 5 minutes till midnight. The centerpieces included white pumpkins adorned with a gold crown and wrapped with gold sparkling tulle. Guests dined on a hot breakfast buffet that included bacon, sausage, potatoes, eggs, and fruit. During the breakfast, Cinderella and other costumed characters joined the guests in the lobby for a meet and greet and pictures, followed by a special performance. Out and About. Fifth graders present annual Famous Americans Project. Stories and photos by Julie Donnelly. Fifth graders at Hillander School in Midland presented their Famous Americans Project to their family, friends, and the entire school. The fifth grade report has been a tradition for more than 25 years at the school and pays tribute to historic figures, sports legends, music stars, and famous innovators. This year, students dressed up and presented themselves as Audie Murphy, Serena Williams, Alexander Hamilton, Clara Barton, Susan B. Anthony, Wilbur Wright, John F. Kennedy, and Virginia Hall, to name a few. Students spend months studying their famous American, then dress up in character and present a speech telling others why they are so important. Obituary and death notices from the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Friday. Veteran Billy Roy Busby, age 78, passed away at his home in Midland on Tuesday, May 10th. Services will be held at 11 a.m. Monday, May 16th, at the Golf Course Road Church of Christ in Midland. Tim Baugh will be officiating. Bill was born in Goose Creek, Texas, to Lester Earl Busby and Dorothy May Moody, August 3, 1943. Bill is survived by his wife Alice Busby, son James Busby and wife Wendy of Midland, and daughter Christy Bustillos and husband Dan of Linwood, Washington, and two grandchildren. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be given to the Senior Life Midlands Texas-sized garage sale. To send condolences to the family, please sign his guest book at www.sunsetodessa.com. Larry Stinnett of Odessa died May 9th in Odessa. Arrangements are entrusted to American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory in Midland. Virginia O. Bejarano, 77, passed away Sunday, May 8th. Viewing will be Sunday, May 15th from 1 p.m. to 9 p.m., with a rosary to be recited at 7 that evening at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home Chapel. Funeral Mass is set for Monday, May 16th at 10 a.m. at Our Lady of Guadalupe Parish and Shrine. Burial will follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens. Arrangements were made with Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home.
This is Reed, and this is the Odessa American for Friday, May 13th, 2022. Murray, employees are most precious resource. Raises could be on the way for ECISD. Ector County ISD Superintendent Scott Murray expressed appreciation to the school board during his media call Wednesday for applauding proposed employee pay increases. The proposal was made during Tuesday night's board workshop. The board is expected to vote on the pay bumps during their May 17th meeting. In the same vein, the district is hosting a job fair Saturday. Quote, on Tuesday night, end quote, Murray said, quote, I was able to introduce, along with our human capital team, the compensation plan to the Board of Trustees. This year's recommendation includes five opportunities for compensation for all employees in ECISD, end quote. Quote, we started with our school-based individuals. Recommendation number one is a 3% increase to professional employees located on our campuses. Teachers, counselors, media specialists, administrators, etc. Those individuals that work on campuses on a daily basis, end quote, he added. The second recommendation was to increase the starting teacher salary from $57,000 a year to $58,750 annually. The increase would start July 1st. Quote, that would make us one of, if not the highest paying school district in our region, end quote, Murray said. Quote, it is one way that we will be able to attract, recruit, and retain the most effective teachers, end quote. Increased pay for central office professionals who are non-campus-based professionals, including coordinators, directors, etc., would receive a 2% raise for next year. Quote, the fourth recommendation was that our hourly employees would receive a 4% raise. Our Board of Trustees has been very clear that we need to target our compensation to our lowest paid employees, which would be our hourly employees, end quote, Murray said. Quote, and we are raising the minimum wage to $15 in ECISD. Over the last 2 years, that will mean that we have taken the minimum wage from $10, where it was 2 years ago, to $15, which would be where we would be starting July 1st, 2022, end quote, Murray added. He said he is excited about the recommendations and pleased to offer them to the Board of Trustees. Quote, we had a healthy discussion about those, and our board will consider those recommendations at their upcoming meeting next week, and we'll make a decision about applying those recommendations to our budget for the 2022-2023 school year, end quote, Murray said. Quote, our people, the 4,200 employees in ECISD, are the most precious resource that we have. This type of continued investment in human capital and in the people of ECISD is critical. We have been very thoughtful and strategic with this recommendation and feel confident that our employees will receive this well and it certainly will allow us to attract, recruit, and retain the most effective individuals that provide service to each of the 32,000 students that we have in our organization," end quote, Murray said. The ECISD job fair is set for 9:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. Saturday at George H.W. Bush New Tech Odessa, 300 East 29th Street. Teachers, counselors, bus drivers, aides, school nutrition, maintenance, teachers, and more are being sought. Murray said people could be hired on the spot, but they will need to go through the vetting process. "We encourage people, if they're interested, to bring appropriate materials. We have online applications," end quote, he said. Murray said he thinks the compensation announcement, although it has not been approved by the board yet, will be enticing to hourly workers in Odessa and Ector County. On separate items, Murray said they celebrated National School Nurse Day Wednesday and will be celebrating District Employees of the Year Friday. Quote, "Nurses have taken on more responsibility than nurses ever have. Our nurses are a little bit more than putting Band-Aids on a boo-boo. Throughout the pandemic, our nurses have gone well above and beyond the call of duty as they have engaged with our students and families to not only care for our students as we've dealt with the pandemic, but also provide for the other needs our kids have on an ongoing basis," end quote, Murray said. He added that the nurses also care for staff members. Top of the class. OC Tech's valedictorian to earn OC degree. Ashley Manquero may be shy, but don't let that fool you. She's determined to make sure that she goes to and through college. Her higher education institution of choice is Bowdoin in Brunswick, Maine, a private liberal arts college. Students attending OC Tech's and Odessa Collegiate Academy, both located on the Odessa College campus, can earn college credit while still in high school. Manquero will be among those walking the stage at Odessa College's graduation, scheduled for 6 p.m. Friday and 10 a.m. Saturday in the Ector County Coliseum. She earned an associate degree in business leadership with an emphasis on management from Odessa College. Her high school graduation will be at 6 p.m. May 20th at the OC Sports Center. She said she knew she would go on to college, but wanted to make sure, and going to OC Tech's was one way to do that. "Being a first-generation student, there was always a fear that she might not go to school, even though she planned to, so she had to make sure she was going to. She said she liked a lot of the schools in New England, and they offered good financial support and had good reputations among employers." Manquero plans to study psychology. Quote, "I'd like to be a clinical psychologist. I don't know which direction yet, just because I've had some interest in human trafficking and also just helping people like me, like first-generation Hispanic women specifically," end quote, she said. Up until a few weeks ago, Manquero was the salutatorian, but she just found out she got the valedictorian spot. "Achieving this goal made her realize that all the college applications and struggles were worth it. Quote, it's a big deal for my family as well," end quote, Manquero said. She added that she thinks being able to earn an associate degree and a high school diploma is beneficial. Quote, it does put me ahead. I think because I've had experience with actual professors, the actual content, and the campus, so I kind of think I know how to navigate a little bit better," end quote, Manquero said. She added that the relationships she's built at OC Tech's have helped her, and she hopes to do the same at Bowdoin. She added that she likes OC Tech's because you can take advantage of the OC facilities and resources, like tutoring and the library with its supply of computers to help students excel. Manquero was on the student council and Be the Change, book clubs, environment club, and she was in National Honor Society briefly and Texas Scholars. She also worked with the Crisis Center of West Texas since it ties in with what she'd like to pursue after college. If she were offering advice to younger students who want to reach valedictorian or the top of their class, Manquero said they should learn how to balance between their lives and academics. Quote, don't strive for that goal just because of things other than your actual genuine love for learning. You have to have a purpose, and that purpose has to be something that you can strive for without hurting yourself and then being too toxic about it, end quote, she added. Principal Carl Miller said Manquero is like a quiet wave that slowly builds. She doesn't seek the spotlight, but her drive, momentum, and passion have driven her to the top of her class. Quote, we kind of all went through the same tragedies here with the first year of school, then the second year had that mass shooting. Then we had COVID. Her leadership with students and the student body has been pretty steady. There was no freaking out. There was, how can we get back to normal but stay safe? It's been really nice just to know that we've all made it. Through all this and the things that happen in life, she still is that force that says, I'm not going away, end quote, Miller said. Quote, it's not offensive, it's just, I'm going to do it. And what's really cool is she's well-respected and well-liked by all of her peers, as well as our faculty, end quote, Miller added. Help the theater, toss a beanbag. Cornhole event benefits Basin Theater Works. Saturday is a chance for cornhole champions and karaoke stars to show off their skills while also supporting the arts. Basin Theater Works is having a spring fundraiser with a cornhole and karaoke event from 6:30 p.m. to midnight Saturday at the MCM Elegante. Quote, so what we're doing, usually we do Divas and Desserts in the fall, end quote, Heather Valenzuela said. Quote, but we decided this year to change it up a little and do a spring fundraiser and a fall fundraiser. Our spring one is going to be cornhole and karaoke. It's going to be a double elimination cornhole tournament. End quote. The event will be run by Boom or Bust Cornhole, a local group that helps do cornhole tournaments in town. Quote, it'll be double elimination, end quote, Valenzuela said. Quote, there'll be great prizes. We'll have cash prizes and we'll have raffles, and then we'll have prizes for first, second, and third, end quote. The last round of the night will feature a Calcutta, Valenzuela said. Quote, our karaoke lounge is going to be our loser's lounge, end quote, Valenzuela said. Quote, once you've lost in cornhole, you can go in there and have cocktails and karaoke, end quote. Gavin Norris of the Norris Law Firm will run the karaoke, and the event will feature lots of food. Quote, we're having tailgating type of food, end quote, Valenzuela said. Quote, it'll be like burgers and hot dogs and corn dogs and cocktails, end quote. The fundraiser is to help raise money for next season at Permian Playhouse and also for its kids and educational programs. Quote, these fundraisers help keep us afloat and help us continue to do our kids' kaleidoscope company and our kids' educational theater, end quote, Valenzuela said. Quote, something we always like to say is that any kid can find a spot in theater, whether they are on stage or makeup or lights or sounds. Kids can find a spot in theater. We think it's important that we push the education piece, especially right now with all the mental health issues that we have right now with COVID. We feel very passionately that we want kids to have a space where they can feel safe. Our goal is to be able to continue to do that, end quote. Last year and 2020 saw the Permian Playhouse unable to do many of its shows due to COVID. This year, the Playhouse has been able to return to a normal schedule. The Playhouse recently finished doing Charlotte's Web and will soon be putting on the SpongeBob SquarePants musical, which is scheduled to run from July 29th through August 7th. Quote, it's been hard not being opened, for sure, end quote, Valenzuela said. Quote, we're so excited to be back. We just ran Charlotte's Web. We were sold out all six nights that the show ran. I think people are so glad to be back seeing live theater. People are excited to be back. We're thrilled to have our performances back. We are most excited right now about being a safe place and that we're back and we're going to offer a place for people to be happy and sort through their emotions through the last 2 years. We're excited to be a place to make laugh and feel good because we haven't done a lot of that. End quote. The auditions for the musical will take place May 13th, 14th, and 15th. Quote, we're doing SpongeBob the musical this summer, and we chose to do that instead of something heavier because now that people are out of the house, we want them to be able to feel good and come and be happy in our space and have a break from the daily routine, end quote, Valenzuela said. Valenzuela says she hopes they can raise $50,000. Quote, that would be our pinnacle if we could, end quote, Valenzuela said. This weekend's fundraiser will be the first time Basin Theater Works has done a cornhole tournament. Quote, we were going to do a poker tournament this year, end quote, Valenzuela said. Quote, but we started to do some research and decided that cornhole has gotten so big, no one else does a cornhole tournament. It also spans the age group. College kids like to play it, and adults. It's something everyone can do, which makes it fun, end quote. Missing woman found dead in her home. An Odessa woman who was reported missing April 22nd has been found deceased. Ector County Sheriff Mike Griffiths said Wilmalia P. Rosen was found inside her home on May 2nd after relatives gave deputies permission to enter the home. It appears as though Rosen, 65, may have fallen inside the home, Griffiths said. Quote, apparently she was a hoarder. The house was very cluttered, end quote, he said. Due to the condition of her remains, she likely expired quite some time ago, Griffiths said. ECSO investigator Heidi Zavala said a relative of Rosen, who lives outside Ector County, called the sheriff's office April 22nd, asking deputies to check on Rosen because she hadn't been able to reach her on the phone. The two spoke periodically, and the last time they'd spoken was sometime in February, and at that time Rosen was depressed, Zavala said. When deputies went to Rosen's home in the 7300 block of Hughes Lane, no one answered the door, Zavala said. The Lubbock County Medical Examiner's Office positively identified Rosen using x-rays on Wednesday, Griffiths said. Quote, we feel like it's a natural death, but we don't want to rule that until we make plumb sure that's the case, end quote, he said. Tacos and Tequila Festival Saturday. The Flecha Azul Tacos and Tequila Festival is for Saturday, a press release stated. The festival will last from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. and will be located on Grant Avenue from 4th Street to 6th Street. The festival entrance is at the intersection of 5th Street and Texas Avenue. Attendees are welcome to park in the parking garage attached to the Marriott Conference Center. This event is open to all ages but must be 21 to consume alcohol. Children ages 12 and under are free. Community members are invited to buy a general admission ticket for $30 or an exclusive VIP ticket for $70 to enjoy some tacos, tequila, margaritas, and cerveza, the press release detailed. There will be music performances by the Damn Torpedoes, a tribute to Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. The festival will have food trucks such as Ed and Tom's, Marty G's, Cajun, El Calega, Snow King, Calazes, El Vaquero Tacos y Montadas, and Lalo's Tacos. A taco and jalapeno eating contest will be held at the festival, and West Texas vendors will be in attendance for some local shopping. More information can be found at Flecha Azul Tacos and Tequila Festival. WTXEvents.com. Lucas Nelson headlining Ed Foundation event. The Education Foundation of Odessa has announced that their popular fundraising concert is coming back in 2022 and will feature Lucas Nelson and the Promise of the Real, POTR. The concert will take place at the Ector County Coliseum September 22nd. Quote, 20 years ago, the Education Foundation brought Willie Nelson for the inaugural benefit concert. Now in 2022, we have his son, Lucas Nelson. After having a two-year hiatus due to the pandemic, we are excited to get things rolling again with a great band that is appealing across genres from country to rock, end quote, says Jay Eric, president of the Education Foundation Board of Directors. Quote, Lucas Nelson and Promise of the Real will continue the long tradition of our concert event being the best of the year for Odessa and the Permian Basin, end quote. The band has spent much of the past year on the road, performing sold-out shows across the country with a recent review in the San Francisco Chronicle proclaiming, quote, Nelson is a natural performer with composure and maturity beyond his 32 years, whose stage theatrics brought the crowd to its feet and kept it there. End quote. The band is touring in support of their widely acclaimed 2021 studio album, A Few Stars Apart, with standout singles Perennial Bloom, Back to You, and Wildest Dreams, which once again catapulted POTR to number one on the Americana Albums charts for 7 consecutive weeks. Based in Texas, POTR is Lucas Nelson, lead vocals, electric guitar, acoustic guitar, piano, Anthony Logurfo, drums, percussion, tambourine, Corey McCormick, bass guitar, upright bass, mellotron, vocals, Tato Melgar, percussion, and Logan Metz, piano, Wurlitzer, B3 organ, lap steel, banjo, mellotron, vocals. Since their debut over a decade ago, the band has toured relentlessly, playing countless sold-out one-night shows and festivals around the world, and occasionally serving as Neil Young's road band. A news release said, Nelson also co-produced the music for 2018's lauded A Star Is Born film, in addition to appearing in the film with the band, and went on to win a BAFTA Award for Best Original Music and a Grammy Award for Best Compilation Soundtrack for Visual Media for his work. Sponsorship tables for this event are available by calling the Education Foundation office at 432-456-7059 or emailing educationfoundation.odessa@outlook.com. Reserved seating tickets go on sale Friday at the Ector County Coliseum box office and may be purchased online at https://www.boxofficesolutions.net/. Ticket prices are $35, $50, and $65, plus a handling charge. The Education Foundation of Odessa provides a new and innovative source of funding to support the school district's educational plan. The foundation does not attempt to replace lost state funding, nor does it attempt to take the place of the district's operating budget. When considering the level of funding required to educate students, the foundation can expect only to provide funds for those projects and activities that go beyond the normal classroom experience. Such initiatives provide enrichment, research opportunities, teacher training, intervention and prevention strategies, and extend the educational effort. The mission of the Education Foundation is to create opportunities for education in Ector County ISD. Our vision is that every student in ECISD will be school ready, college ready, work ready, world ready. 2022 Project Graduation Needs Donations. When spring rolls around, only one thing is on the minds of high school seniors across the country: graduation. As a rite of passage, graduation night is unequaled in the eyes of youth. It is a night to be proud, to celebrate past achievements, and to look forward to the future. But some teens mistakenly think that the best way to celebrate on graduation night is to drink alcohol, a release said. In the past, graduation parties involving alcohol have left some graduating seniors with hangovers, embarrassing memories, and in trouble with their parents, friends, and/or the police. Some others were not so lucky. The name Project Graduation was coined 30 years ago by planners in Maine, where a total of 18 people had died during two graduation seasons due to alcohol-related crashes. Project Graduation is a parent-led event through the schools to give the students a safe alternative to celebrate their accomplishments with friends in a safe environment. Thanks to the parents who volunteer their time, the sponsors who contribute in-kind and monetary donations, and the community support, this event would not be possible. This event is a lock-in event at the Odessa College Sports Center that starts right after graduation and will last until 6 a.m. the next morning. There will be raffle prizes and plenty of games and food to keep them busy and having fun all night. Ryan returns to Dos Amigos. Singer-songwriter Mike Ryan has been to Odessa quite a few times over the years. He'll make his return this week when he performs at Dos Amigos at 6 p.m. Friday. The country music star, who is originally from San Antonio, will be touring in support of his recent single, quote, Jacket On, end quote, which was co-written with songstress Brandi Clark and Brent Anderson. He's enjoyed his numerous stops in the Permian Basin. Quote, we're looking forward to it, end quote, Ryan said. Quote, any show is wonderful to play. We've played at Dos Amigos a couple of times before. We've had a hell of a time every time we've been out there. We're looking forward to coming back, end quote. It was last October when Ryan released his fiddle and steel heavy single, quote, Jacket On, end quote. Mike simultaneously debuted the clever track in a 48-hour exclusive premiere. The single is now available at digital retailers everywhere. Following the release of his new single, Ryan went on a 14-stop tour to finish up 2021. He's recently seen the pace increase as the number of shows and gigs he's had have gone up since the pandemic. Quote, you know, it was kind of slow at first, end quote, Ryan said. Quote, we're just trying to figure things out like everybody else was. I guess 2020 was pretty much done. 2021 was all right. We did maybe half of the shows that we normally do in 2021. That was a little bit better. It seems like we're back on track to play as many shows as we had before. That's good. We've enjoyed getting back and playing at some places that we hadn't been to in a while. It feels like the energy has been pretty strong. I don't know if it's because people have been cooped up or what, but getting back into the live music has been an exciting time, end quote. However, during the pandemic, he and his bandmates didn't stop playing as they found a way to stay busy. Quote, "We've been playing the entire time," end quote, Ryan said. Quote, "But getting everybody else to come out and open back up took time, but we're glad that it's back to normal," end quote. Ever since he was in high school, Ryan wanted to be a country musician. He attended MacArthur High School in San Antonio, graduating in the class of 2004. It was his senior year when he started playing guitar. Quote, "I just had always wanted to learn," end quote, Ryan said. Quote, "My dad and my brother had played. After football was done, I had more time on my hands," end quote. Ryan said he played, quote, "a little bit of everything," end quote, when he was on the football field, playing tight end as well as defensive tackle and linebacker. Quote, "I didn't know that music was something that was going to be taking me and making a career out of," end quote, Ryan said. While attending North Texas University, that's when Ryan started writing songs and, quote, saw something start to happen, end quote. Quote, "It was the best way that I could make extra money or any money as well, end quote, Ryan said. Quote, "I had a few odd jobs in school, but playing guitar in school was the most fun. It was sometime around my junior or senior year of college where I started to take it a little more seriously," end quote. Since 2010, he's been singing and playing full time, accumulating fans across the U.S. and throughout the world. He's garnered over 200 million career streams to date, with 26 of his songs racking up over 1 million streams each, and 13 of those with over 5 million streams. He's been featured by Apple Music's Breaking Country playlist, Pandora's Artist Watch, SiriusXM The Highway, Austin City Limits, and he performed during a special broadcast live from the White House. 7 number one songs have landed on the Texas music charts. His third full-length studio album, quote, Blink You'll Miss It, end quote, also landed at number 15 on Billboard's Heat Seekers albums chart and top 40 on Billboard's Independent Albums chart. Quote, "I'm just happy for the recognition," end quote, Ryan said. Quote, "It's not necessarily what I do it for. The accolades are certainly welcomed, but I'm just happy that I get to do what I love and get people to come out and support me and believe in me as we go on this journey." But it's been really cool. I'm glad that people are really enjoying the songs, and that's been the goal this entire time, to write songs that people will be moved by, and getting the recognition is really cool, end quote. Being able to perform, write music, and stay on tour all while having a family can be difficult, but Ryan has found a way to make it all work. Quote, "My family has been really supportive," end quote, Ryan said. Quote, "I come from a musically inclined family. We have a lot of band directors and players. It's been nice having them in my corner. My two boys have certainly given me a reason to do things and push harder, even if I'm feeling tired or struggling with whatever's happening in life," end quote. He talked about some of the challenging aspects of being on the road a lot. Quote, "Sometimes it gets difficult," end quote, Ryan said. Quote, "There are times when I can't wait to get back on the road, and there are times when I can't wait to get back home to family. I've always got stuff pulling me in different directions, but it's nice, and for me, I feel pretty lucky. I found out early in college that working for the man just wasn't in the cards for me. I'm happy that I get to do what I love. Sometimes it's difficult now that I have the boys and the family at home, but me and Sarah have been strong this whole time. We've traveled a lot since we've been together. It's nothing new. We enjoy this lifestyle," end quote. He does anywhere from 80 to 120 shows in a single year. When trying to write music, he talks about keeping his mind open throughout the day to little things like conversations and to try and find any sort of inspirations for any songs he can find. Quote, "Sometimes there are real stuff that happens that's unavoidable and that can cause some inspiration," end quote, Ryan said. Quote, "Just as far as keeping my mind open to the possibilities of songs coming from wherever they may be coming from and then taking some of those things and writing it down from time to time," end quote. Once Ryan gets a bunch of ideas, he'll typically call up some friends who like to write music with him, and they'll start tossing ideas around. Quote, "We'll start bouncing things off each other because some things that may seem like a good idea to you are actually terrible, and you need someone to tell you that before you write it," end quote, Ryan said. Quote, "Also, there are some things that you may have that don't sound like a good idea but actually are, and the next thing you know, you have a hit song on your hands. Songwriting is a cool, enjoyable thing. For me, it has been for a long time, but I've always wanted to have a head in writing and not just cut outside songs in writing. There's something that's inspiring for me and other people. It's cool to see the personality in songwriting," end quote. One of the last songs he's helped write was Brad Paisley's top 20, quote, Last Time for Everything, end quote. Quote, we were writing one day, end quote, Ryan said. Quote, I was in a session with Chris Dubois and Brent Anderson. We were sitting around and coming up with this idea and sketched out a first chorus thing. We had a roadmap of where the song was good, end quote. The next day, Dubois and Anderson had a session with Paisley where they pitched the idea. Paisley loved it. Quote, they ended up finishing it that night, end quote, Ryan said. Quote, Paisley was in the middle of recording a record and he recorded it the next morning. Then Chris called me later that week and said, hey, remember that song we started writing? We finished it with Brad, and here's what it sounds like with his new record. It was pretty exciting. I'm happy with the way it turned out. Putting Brad on it was a great idea because he had some strong ideas, but the guitar part that he put down made the song, in my opinion. It was just a great song, and the guitar part made it much better, end quote. When talking about his favorite albums, Ryan says, quote, Bad Reputation, end quote, ranks near the top for him. Quote, it has a full-length record, end quote, Ryan said. Quote, we're about to put another one of those out. We've just finished a record that we're going to be releasing very soon. The last couple of projects have just been singles or 4 to 5 songs. But Bad Reputation album really opened a lot of doors for me. It's been my entire body of work. It's been top to bottom a perfect representation of what I've been trying to do in this life and business. I'm super proud of it, end quote. West Texas Blowout returns. For 8 years now, the West Texas Blowout has taken place each year, combined with a part of the show dedicated to Tejano music and the other country. This year, that run will continue with the Tejano portion of the West Texas Blowout, scheduled to take place at 5:30 p.m. May 22nd at the Midland Horseshoe Amphitheater. Doors will open at 4 p.m. Part 2 of the West Texas Blowout, which will feature country music, will take place later this summer at a date yet to be determined. Quote, it's basically a two-part music festive, end quote, owner and promoter of West Texas Blowout, Edwin Jaquez, said. Quote, we do Tex-Mex in part one and part two. We do a Texas country show, and it's a one-day event for each part. Our part two is to be announced soon. We're working on our country headliners right now, but that'll be at the end of July or August, end quote. Six singers will line up the day's acts, beginning with Monica Saldivar at 5:30 p.m., following that will be Angelique at 6:30 p.m., and then Stefani Montiel will perform right after. Shelley Laris and Los Palominos will follow, and Ramon Ayala will end the day's performances. Quote, our headliner has been in the business for many years, end quote, Jaquez said of Ayala. He's done plenty of hits. If you don't know him, then you don't appreciate the Tex-Mex industry. He's been around for a while. He's about 78 years old. He's got the many hits. Los Palominos, they've been in the business for many years as well, about 25 plus years, if not longer. Shelley Laris and Stephanie Montiel have both been in the industry for many years. The other is Angelique and Monica Salvador. They've been in the business for about 4 to 6 years. They're newcomers and up-and-coming artists, end quote. Each year, different artists come to perform in Midland for the West Texas Blowout. Quote, I try to mix it up, end quote, Jaquez said. Jaquez says they've averaged about 3,000 attendees over the years. Quote, it depends, end quote, Jaquez said. Quote, I would say between 2,500 and 3,500. The average is about 3,000. Country is a big draw, so that helps us. The venue only holds about 4,000, but it's a nice venue to accommodate this, end quote. It hasn't been every year that the West Texas Blowout has taken place at the Midland Horseshoe Amphitheater. Up until last year, the event took place over by Grande Communication Stadium before moving to its current location. Last year's show was the first to take place since the pandemic. COVID canceled the 2020 event. Jaquez said they still had a good turnout last year. Quote, of course, many people were already needing to come out of the house from COVID, so that helped, end quote, Jaquez said. Jaquez said the Odessa Midland area not being a hotbed for Tejano music, at least when it comes to the radio stations. Quote, here, especially in Midland and Odessa, Tejano music is not a huge market, end quote, Jaquez said. Quote, most of these radio stations don't play Tejano. You have to go to San Antonio and Dallas and the Valley to go hear live music. It's hard to keep Tejano music alive, but we're one of the few shows here that have Tejano music, end quote. Because of that, he says that's why the show has been a big draw since its inception. Quote, my shows for the last 8 years, we've been doing Tex-Mex music, so we're able to draw people not only from Midland and Odessa, but from out of state as well. California, Ohio, and neighboring states like New Mexico and Oklahoma. And we also get people from Mexico, so that draws a good crowd for Midland, end quote. The price for general admission is $25. Children ages 7 and under get in for free, and VIP tickets are $35. For more information, go to https://tinyurl.com/8xaf4fk6.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.